I'm Anthony Pastore. Welcome to UBS On Air. Today, we continue our conversations on sustainable investing with a focus on climate change, more specifically, climate change considerations in your portfolio. Why is this such a relevant topic today? How can engagement drive progress on climate change? What are some ways to invest? Joining me today for this discussion are Amy Farrell, Sustainable and Impact Investing Specialist with UBS Asset Management, and Amantia Muhadini, Sustainable Investing Strategist with the UBS Chief Investment Office. So happy to have this conversation with both of you today. Thanks for joining me.
Great to be here. Thanks, Anthony.
So Amantia, something that I wanted to ask you is that, you know, we're having this conversation on climate change, and today we're going to be talking specifically about climate change and portfolios, but right now the UN General Assembly is happening. Why do you think this is such a conversation that is timely and it's so relevant, especially with what's going on at the UN?
Thanks, Anthony. So yeah, this week is the annual gathering of the United Nations General Assembly. Normally, this meeting would be happening in New York City, where you and I are both based right now. But obviously, due to COVID-19, I believe that most of the meeting is happening virtually. And yet, the UNGA Weeks draws a lot of attention often, as it's an opportunity for leaders of all nations really, that are members of the UN, to come together and discuss the major issues that are affecting our planet. One of which is naturally the climate change crisis. The United Nations in 2015 agreed on 17 sustainable development goals. So they focused their attention and identified what are the major sustainability challenges and how do we need to work towards them to address them for the benefit of everyone, really. And climate change is really a serious and significant backdrop to these 17 SDGs. Some of them are directly related to either the causes or the consequences of climate change. For example, some of the goals are around clean air or life below water, with focus on our oceans, for example. Now, you maybe would ask, why is this relevant to investors? The 17 goals really provide a roadmap or a framework for us to think about sustainability. But sustainability, especially when it comes to things that are becoming increasingly tangible and evident, like climate change, comes back to all of us, our lives, and our portfolios. And so it becomes relevant to investors. In some ways, if we think of climate change, we think of what the different impacts there would be, and then how would they be manifested. So one of the ways that climate change impact could look like is through physical changes that we're starting to observe, either in short-term changes in increased, for example, weather patterns that are becoming more erratic or more frequent, or through long-term physical changes that would ultimately have an impact on across a variety of asset classes. For example, these physical changes could result in crop yields changing. Some were increasing, some were decreasing, but that would mean a need for supply chain remanagement and for re-envisioning our agricultural and food systems, for example. These physical changes could also result in potential changes in home property value. So another way in a different asset class that would be affected. Another way that climate change could have an impact on us and our economies and companies and ultimately portfolios is through shifting regulation, through the transition, really, that we're being required to undertake as a result of climate change, some of which is being pushed on by governments, which are increasingly responding either through more incentives or financing this quote-unquote green recovery, in particular now in light of COVID-19, or by imposing additional requirements and for companies and people and consumers and themselves as governments as well to help mitigate these effects of climate change. So overall, all of these changes and the fact that currently world leaders are discussing this among lots of other pressing issues and crises that we're all facing right now make this conversation really timely.
Right. Amantia, thank you. And Amy, let me bring you in here and ask you, you know, why, in your opinion, climate change is so relevant to investors right now.
Sure. Thanks, Anthony. And thank you, Amantya, for that introduction to climate change. Well, why is this relevant to investors? Every company, to some degree, will be impacted by the changes, Amantya, that you outlined, these changes to our environment. You highlighted heat stress, powerful hurricanes, rising oceans, extreme weather events, more acidic seas, water stress, just to name a few. And investors need to educate themselves on the economics of climate change and understand the implications of a warmer world on their investments. That includes understanding the risks, but also being able to identify investment opportunities. So we've spoken a bit about physical risk. Let's talk a little bit about some of the transition issues that you had mentioned, Amantya, with regard to regulatory changes. And these are changes that, again, investors need to be aware of. Let's talk about something a little bit closer to home. I don't know if any of you saw, but just yesterday, the governor of California announced that in 2035, all passenger cars and trucks sold in the state will have to be zero emissions vehicles. So that's a pretty ambitious target, and one that would completely disrupt the automobile, oil and gas, and energy production industry. So just one example of a regulatory shift by this executive order coming out of the state of California that, again, investors need to be mindful of. I want to highlight a recent report that was put out by the CFA Institute. It looks at climate risk and how it can be applied to financial analysis and portfolio management. And as you know, the CFA has nearly 200,000 global investment professionals within its community. So the survey actually looked at climate change and investing. It was done in March of this year, and they had about 3,000 respondents. And they found that 40% of those who responded are already integrating climate change into their investment processes. So separately, the CFA posed a question to C-suite executives among their community, and they were asking them if climate change risk in the investment process was important. And interestingly, over three-fourths, or 75% of those C-suite executives came back saying that it was important or very important. So what's interesting there is the disconnect. And I just want to highlight this on our call. The gap is really about lack of data. So many companies don't provide systematic and thorough data, for example, on their CO2 emissions, on scenario analysis they may be conducting, or on targets, carbon emission targets. So without some sort of standard approach to disclosure, it's difficult for us as investors to fully integrate climate change into our processes. So we expect this to change over time. But clearly, we can see out of the CFA Institute's findings that this topic is highly relevant to the investor community.
And Amy, let me stay with you for a moment. I wanted to ask you, what are some ways that investors can implement climate change considerations into their portfolios?
Right. Thanks, Anthony. So, you know, here at UBS Asset Management, we know that our clients are eager to address environmental issues. We've actually seen this appetite in a couple of different surveys. I'm going to mention some more surveys here because I think it's always good to quantify what we're talking about. So the UBS Investor Watch survey, which focused on sustainability, actually found that 58% of wealth investors, this was a global survey, said that sustainable investing will be the norm within 10 years. Now, within sustainable investing, the number one issue that they flagged as being important to them was the environment. Separately, here at UBS Asset Management, we worked with a group called Responsible Investor, and we conducted a survey of institutional investors, pension funds, endowments, foundations globally. And what's interesting about that survey is we found that the majority of participants or survey respondents actually indicated that environmental factors like climate change risk,
could actually outstrip financial factors in terms of its relevance or materiality in the coming years. So that's pretty outstanding. So in response to this increased appetite from both our wealth clients as well as our institutional clients, at UBS Asset Management, we've developed what we refer to as a climate-aware framework. And the framework can be applied across different asset classes. But basically, you're looking at how investments can reduce the carbon footprint, but at the same time can offer you the chance to invest in new technologies. So that's hitting on that opportunity side of the equation. And then most importantly, the framework allows investors to align their portfolios to a specific glide path. So what do we mean by that? Institutional investors in particular might be interested in aligning their investments to a 1.5 or 2.0 degree scenario. So we're giving our clients the opportunity to apply this type of thinking or this framework to their portfolios. I also highlight that we've done a lot of work around calling on companies to adopt better disclosure practices. We work closely with Climate Action 100 Plus, which is a collaborative organization made up of asset owners and other asset managers that put pressure on companies to change their disclosures and set more ambitious targets for climate or carbon reductions. And we're encouraging companies to adopt the Task Force on Climate-Related Financial Disclosure, TCFD, guidelines that would improve the availability of data, coming back to that data issue. So just to highlight one more time, the framework, this climate-aware framework that we've created is really about portfolio mitigation. So again, lowering that exposure to carbon risk, portfolio adaption, which is where we are looking to increase exposure to innovation solutions, those opportunities, and then transition, where you can actually align your portfolio to a chosen climate glide path.
Right. Thanks, Amy. And Monty, anything to add to that? You know, just looking for ways to implement climate change.
Sure. Thanks, Anthony. I think what the conversation has hopefully conveyed so far, and also as Amy went through the different components of the climate aware framework, is that this is a very complex issue. While we are able to see already the ways that some of the climate change impacts may manifest in different asset classes, there surely are other ways that we cannot predict currently by definition. And so the message here is that this is complex, and really there's no silver bullet, no single solution to creating a climate resilient portfolio. But what is helpful, I think, for investors is to consider frameworks like the one that Amy just mentioned. Another way to think about implementing these considerations into portfolio choices and allocations is to think about three different ways that we generally talk about sustainable investing here at UBS Chief Investment Office. So one of the approaches possible is to think about exclusions. This would mean avoiding investing in particular companies, sometimes entire sectors, which would have high exposure to fossil fuels or other gases that are contributing to climate change. So this approach would enable investors in a way to lower the carbon footprint of their portfolio, and it also may have the added value and benefits of aligning with their values if this is something that an investor cares about. However, this approach on its own would not help capture the potential opportunities coming from innovations to address climate change, as well as the more indirect possible impacts that we discussed at the top. A second approach is integration. So this would imply considering these climate change specific indicators alongside traditional financial metrics and designing a portfolio that basically looks for opportunities while also mitigating the potential risks. In many ways, the climate aware approach would fit within an integration type approach. But there are many ways of doing this. So one would be simply to select and for issuers or companies that are best in class, they're doing the best among their peers in reducing their own carbon footprint. Or it could look like tilting a passive portfolio toward companies that are on an improvement path with regard to their carbon footprint, or investing in a sort of thematic approach in specific solutions via public markets. And then finally, the third approach that I'd like to mention is through impact investing strategies. So this would allow investors to direct their capital towards solutions that are intending to drive measurable progress on these issues related to climate change and all the different causes or all the different manifestations of the consequences of it. So I'll stop there and just leave the overall message on this point that this is definitely complex, and considering a combination of all of these approaches is probably the best way to think about climate change and portfolios.
Right. And of course, you know, as our clients are listening to this, the one word of advice we can always give is make sure to talk to your UBS financial advisor who knows your situation and understands your portfolio needs and your risks, et cetera. And we can figure out a really important and beneficial way to include sustainable investing in your portfolio in a way that works for your time horizons. Amantya, so, you know, talking about divestment, you know, that's a topic that often can generate some debate. And I wanted to ask you your view on divestment as a way of tackling climate change.
Well, so it definitely is a topic which has been widely discussed in some contexts. And in some ways, I indirectly touched on the question of divestment. You could think of divestment as actively removing things from a portfolio, or you could think of it akin as the question of exclusion, where you're just avoiding, you know, investing in companies. You don't include them in your investable universe at all. Divestment is, in a way, part of the origin of the sustainable and socially responsible investment movement, which started in the late 60s and early 70s, and really started with investors, institutional investors at the time, looking to align their portfolios with their values by excluding industries that they disagreed with. So you could apply this to climate change, and you could see how the same kind of logic applies. And it's definitely a choice that is available, and it's an option of thinking about how to lower the possible footprint of your portfolio if that is something that an investor cares about. Yet I would still reiterate my point from earlier that an exclusionary approach on its own wouldn't necessarily bring out all the other benefits to a portfolio that an integrated approach would bring, such as being exposed to potential opportunities or helping finance more proactive solutions or having an exposure to engagement strategies, for example, which would help drive companies towards a path on improvement if that's something that an investor is interested in and cares about.
Terrific. Thank you, Amantya. And Amy, maybe you can share some examples of how engagement can drive progress on these climate change indicators?
Sure. So perhaps I could give the other side of the coin. So the argument against divestment, and that is focused on engagement. So engagement is really a critical piece of the entire climate change integration process. As I mentioned before, we have a lack of data that's well understood, highlighted again in the CFA Institute's most recent report on climate change integration in the investment process. So as investors, we need to speak with companies to get access to climate data, to scenario analysis that they might be conducting, and other disclosures. And number two, we want to give companies a feedback as investors on climate change. Again, I mentioned that we work in collaboration with other asset managers as well as large asset owners in a group called Climate Action 100 Plus. And this group was formed in 2017. There's over 500 investors, and collectively they have $47 trillion in assets under management. So it's a pretty loud and powerful voice, and it's focused on the top carbon emitters. And approaching those companies, again, with a more organized voice. So one of the companies I'd like to talk about, which was one of our holdings, so one that we engaged with, is a Norwegian oil and gas company. And they were actually flagged by Climate Action 100 Plus because they are one of the world's top 100 greenhouse gas emitters. Having said that, it was a holding because the stock has been attractive. And also, this company has significantly increased its investments in renewables. So within the oil and gas industry, there are certainly companies that are looking at shifting their business models and moving more into renewable energy. And again, this is the argument against divestment. So we began our dialogue with this company in collaboration with Climate Action 100 Plus, and this was back in 2017. And following a series of very productive meetings with C-suite executives, with senior and management, this company actually issued a joint public statement talking about some of the changes that they were planning to make. As a result of this dialogue. So they said that they would review all of their existing climate-related targets. And in February 2020, they actually announced carbon neutrality of their global operations by 2030, and that they would increase renewable energy capacity by tenfold by 2026. And by 30 times by 2035, which would make them a global leader in offshore wind production. Finally, they said that they would reduce their net carbon intensity, or their net energy production, another way to think of it, by 50% by 2050. So this would not have happened if we didn't hold that company. And I should mention that you also have the added benefit of your proxy votes. And again, this is all through engagement.
Great, Amy. Thank you so much. And my last question here for you is, you know, Amantia earlier discussed the three different approaches to considering climate change. And we have so far discussed, of course, integration and exclusion. But maybe you could take a little bit of a deeper dive on impact as a way of investing in different solutions.
Yeah, great. Thanks, Anthony. Well, you know, we talked a lot at the beginning of this call about the physical risks of climate change, and all of those collectively are leading to a refugee crisis. And I'd like to point out two different geographic scenarios for the refugee crisis. You may have read that the New York Times actually addressed U.S. climate refugees in a recent article. Because of the wildfires, as well as the storms in the southern part of the United States. And they found that, according to some of their research, a 1 in 12 Americans in the southern half of the country, the United States, will actually move due to climate-related changes over the next 45 years. And while these shifts really have implications for the United States, it's nothing compared to the migrations that we're expected to see in the developing world, where climate change is having a much more significant impact. The World Bank estimated that the impact on these economies will be devastating. So UBS, as an organization, is committed to impact investing and to supporting organizations like the World Bank, the Inter-American Development Bank, the African Development Bank, and others. And we've actually built solutions that can help private investors and institutional investors support these organizations in their efforts to hold up the developing countries and the individuals there that will be gravely hit by climate change.
Well, Amy, thank you so much. And Amantia, thank you as well. It's a great discussion. And I feel like this is one that we will talk about many, many times in the future, as this is only the beginning. So I really appreciate you both sharing all this great information with us today. Amy Farrell, Sustainable and Impact Investing Specialist with UBS Asset Management, and Amantia Muhadini, Sustainable Investing Specialist with the UBS Chief Investment Office. Thank you both so much.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And for more information on sustainable investing, please visit our website at ubs.com/sustainableinvesting. And as always, please speak to your UBS financial advisor. From New York, I'm Anthony Pastore. Thank you for joining us, everyone. Have a great day, and we'll speak with you soon.
UBS Chief Investment Office's investment views are prepared and published by the Global Wealth Management Business of UBS AG or its affiliates. The views and opinions expressed in this material by external guest speakers are those of the author, speaker, and are not those of UBS, its subsidiaries, or affiliates. Accordingly, UBS does not accept any liability over the content of this material or any claims, losses, or damages arising from the use or reliance of all or any part thereof. This material has no regard to the specific investment objectives, financial situation, or particular needs of any specific recipient, and is published for informational purposes only. For a full legal disclaimer applicable to the independent investment views produced by UBS, please visit our website at ubs.com/CIO-disclaimer.